Welcome to another edition of Blah Blah Sports. Benny here, and of course we're talking about the NFL Draft, which will be on the NFL Network, ESPN2, ESPN, this Thursday, the 28th at 8 o'clock. Of course, we're recording this podcast on a Monday night. Of course, this will more than likely be out on a Tuesday or Wednesday by the time you're hearing this. So you'll definitely know by all the commercials and everything. But once again, Benny here alongside my partner in crime, Sean Smith. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. You do know that the draft is gone now. It's been gone for like the last 50 years.
It's been gone?
Yeah, it's been gone. They don't draft people into the Army anymore.
Yes, with the first pick, the U.S. Army is drafting me.
They need 5'7" foot soldiers to get out there in the field.
They need to put someone on the front line.
They need to put someone just to absorb bullets.
Bullets would go over his head and just be hitting the back line. It's bad.
And that voice is my brother, Vincent. And of course, we're bringing him in here because he is our one of our NFL
immense football knowledge.
Yes, that's what he has on his resume. And of course, we're talking the NFL draft. A lot has gone down. Of course, with the Los Angeles Rams moving up to the number one pick, the Eagles then following suit to the number two pick, Tennessee and Cleveland trading back. A lot of craziness has happened with the draft. Vincent, I want your opinion really quick on the Eagles trade. Who do you think right now won that trade?
As it sits right now, the Eagles gave up a lot, okay? And many people don't know this, but I thought at first the reason the Eagles moved up was, of course, to acquire the right to draft me. The only logical reason there was. And I realized
you're not in the draft.
I'm not draft eligible till next year. I got to be a junior. So, exactly. So, the Eagles gave up a lot for this pick. And here's my opinion on it. They gave up a lot, but if they get a quarterback that they can develop and be a starter in this league, it's worth it because a quarterback is nearly priceless in this league. So, it could turn out good for the Eagles. Big risk, also could turn out very bad. I believe we gave up our next year.
Round pick next year, second round pick in 2 years, yeah. And a lot of picks this year. Again, me and Sean have talked about it. It's a big, risky maneuver that it's kind of weird to do this trade because it doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of building a team.
It's Howie Roseman here. He's trying to be like, you know, now that I'm back in charge and Chip Kelly's not here, I'm going to take full reins of this team. That's what he's trying. He's trying to get a little power show.
Well, have fun with that.
Yeah, he's trying to get a little power show in here.
Speaking of power struggles, Eagles going through one right now with their quarterback, Sam Bradford. Now, Sean, I'm going to turn this over to you. What is going on with this Sam Bradford thing?
Sam Bradford's a moron. That's what's going on.
His agent needs to be fired. What agent accepts a 2-year deal without really ever testing the market, from what I understand, accepts a 2-year deal worth, I believe, what is it, 40 something odd million dollars? It's close.
Too much.
What team offers him that contract in the grand scheme of things, wanting to draft a quarterback?
We're rebuilding.
That's Vinny's excuse.
Well, if you're rebuilding, why are you offering a guy $18 million a year when you can just get a veteran to bring along your drafted quarterback?
Now you're feeling my pain here. You know, we give old bug guys there a lot of money, and then we give our backup a lot of money, and then we're going to give this guy we draft a lot of money, which it all makes perfect sense.
Well, no, you're not going to give him that much
money yet. I questioned.
You're going to give him a good amount. To be the second overall pick will make a good amount.
I think the way they slot the draft picks now, he's probably going to pull what, five or six, closer to five. I don't know how there's no real.
Eagles will have something like $40-something million tied up in the quarterback and the three quarterbacks after this pick if they pick quarterback.
Again, there's a lot of we could sit here and talk about it till the dogs come home. Which
time for Bradford to hit the bricks and Chase Daniel to take over as a starter.
I don't understand why you request a trade when no team wanted you in the first place.
Well, we don't know that because he didn't test the market.
Yeah, you're right, Sean. We don't know that, but he didn't play very well.
And this was also before Osweiler left. This is before Peyton retired.
Yeah.
This is before, well, Kaepernick was.
You're right. This is before Fitzpatrick said the amount of money he wanted.
Yep. This is before all this stuff went down. So,
yeah.
We couldn't have predicted all of this to happen. Well, maybe some of us. But more than likely, I think the smart move here is you need to get rid of Bradford, and you need to get rid of Bradford now. You need to do it either the day before or on the day of the draft. You need to get draft picks back. You need to get back some of the picks that you gave up for that number two pick.
I don't know if you've seen the trades we make. The Eagles clearly don't like draft picks. We got something against them.
Well, neither does Washington. I guess you're taking a page out of their book. but I believe what you need to do is you need to get those a couple of those picks back. I'm not saying you need to get a first rounder for them. I would say at best try to get a third. Maybe if you can squeeze a second rounder out of it, go for it. But I don't think you're going to get that. Plus, Bradford's going to need to have his contract restructured on most teams.
Oh, yeah. On any team.
If he was traded. So that's another issue because he, in a sense, is going to be wanting to be let go by the Eagles so he could get less money. I don't see that as a Sam Bradford move.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me to this. What team do you think would trade for him? Because, okay, let's look at the
Denver
list.
I think they would.
Denver?
Basically every team that has quarterback problems right now is financially strained. Okay, so they're not even near the money. Okay, Kaepernick wasn't even affordable by the Broncos after he agreed to restructure a little bit. So Bradford's out of the question there. The Jets don't have the money to re-sign Fitzpatrick.
I saw somewhere the Jets don't even have. I don't think the Jets have $1 million in cap space. I don't think they do. I think they
can't
have,
re-sign Muhammad Wilkerson. So how are they going to sign a quarterback?
Yeah. Well, again, I look at it this way.
They're not going to pay for an old.
Let's take some teams off the market for quarterbacks right now. Okay. The Rams. There's no way the Rams would trade back for Sam Bradford.
No,
that would be the most asinine thing I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
If the Tennessee Titans offered us Mariota, not only that, but we would get Chip Kelly back in that deal. He would somehow terminate his contract with the 49ers to get back with the Eagles.
I don't see Sam Bradford going out to San Francisco. I don't think Chip Kelly would want Sam Bradford in San Francisco.
Dallas is off the market
because they have Romo. And of course the Jets.
Atlanta, Buffalo. Buffalo could be on the market.
Buffalo has Tyrod Taylor. They're kind of set at quarterback.
When you have Tyrod Taylor in the NFL, you're now set at quarterback with a great.
Well, they seem confident moving forward with him. So the question becomes, the only teams I see him that would need a quarterback
Denver.
And would be Denver or New York Jets, and neither can afford him financially.
I think Denver, if they restructure to maybe 13, 14 a year, they could, but they need
Browns,
to do something.
The landing spots. The 49ers.
We already talked about the 49ers aren't because Chip Kelly's there. Why would Chip Kelly trade for Bradford?
You say like Chip Kelly's never made a wrong move in his life.
He's made a lot of wrong
he's
moves
never
in
made
his
a
life.
Right move in his life.
But it's a perplexing story at a very bizarre time to not only be an Eagles fan but to be an NFL fan, because it's like it's constant with these massive trades and stuff, and it's led me to believe this is a trade scenario I see going down. And of course, Sean, you hit the nail on the head with Denver. I see Bradford going to Denver. Now Denver picks, I believe, in the second round. Their pick is the 63rd, which is essentially the 32nd and 32nd in that round, which is almost like a glorified third round pick. Maybe if you're the Eagles, you can get that pick. Maybe you can get a fifth or a backup player to kind of offset the cap a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
That would be a fair trade for both teams. Of course, I got ripped on social media for saying that, but
well, you said more than just that, but I feel like the first pick, they can't get the first round pick because they're going to draft Lynch. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
I guarantee it's going to happen.
Can you imagine Denver trading for Sam Bradford and then drafting a quarterback to groom behind him?
Yeah, they
like
need
at
to.
That point.
They need to.
Great for them.
I mean, even
just here pushing me from my spot. I got to go.
Even if Sam Bradford does get traded, he's still going to be on a 2-year deal. That's not a long term contract.
No. The thing I find funny about this is that Sam Bradford probably walked into Jeff Lurie's office, all right, like fired up out of his mind, but you know, he doesn't get too fired up. He's kind of monotone. So he's like, Jeff, I can't work like this. And you know, laid back Jeff's like, well, what do you want to do, Sam? And then Sam was like, I want to request a trade. And Jeff probably like choked on his water. What?
What are you doing? I think the ultimate the ultimate, I guess, irony would be that he gets traded to Denver, and Denver ends up taking Paxton Lynch, and once again, he's stuck in the same situation he would be if he was in Philadelphia. That would just be so funny and such great irony there.
And I think but, that the worst part of all this is that Sam Bradford literally has zero leverage.
Oh, he has no leverage.
He is the prototypical average to below average quarterback. There is no one knocking down his door to get him on their team. The only reason why he would even be considered on a Denver team is because they have no quarterbacks other than Mark Sanchez.
Hollis Thomas said it the best on a local radio station I listened to. He said, it's not like with McNabb where it was like every other city was praising Donovan McNabb and we were ripping on him because he wasn't good enough to get us there. This is different with Sam Bradford. It's every NFL team thinks the same thing of Bradford. It's that he stinks. And Philadelphia is the same way. He stinks. So this guy, there is no safe place for Sam Bradford to go if he thinks he's going to be treated better in another market. No, you have to prove that, Sam.
But you know what? I still feel like even if he would have tested the free agent market, I think he would have gotten at least 15. I really do.
Well, he ended up getting...
Canadian Football League, maybe.
He ended up getting, I think he ended up getting 30, you know, he got 18 this year and 20, I think it's 20 or 22 next year.
22.
Maybe he could have found a way to get like 23 from another team, but like that would have been a Cleveland, which is
too much.
That would have been like a desperate team like Cleveland that just wants someone that's going to play versus and not get their head stuffed and stuff. Johnny Manziel. But I think again.
Oh, speaking of Johnny Manziel, apparently he's going to court.
Yeah, he will. More than likely, he'll be in jail.
Well, if the NFL does not put down a 6-game suspension on him, I mean, yeah. Right now there is more evidence against him than, well, maybe not Greg Hardy, but like most of the other
Josh Gordon, Dez Bryant. The Greg Hardy, yeah, you're right with Greg Hardy, but he's been involved in more things. We know he does drugs, okay, because there's been countless stories about that. That he's violated team rules. He's been involved in cocaine.
I still want to know, how did he not fail a drug test in the NFL?
I am fascinated. That'll be one of the stories that we'll hear on.
Why is no one talking about this? Like, this is an important thing. How he got through 2 years.
Without failing a drug test. It's fast. Like, was he not tested?
Doug, he clearly used somebody else's urine.
You know what? I would not be shocked.
Like, who is Joe Thomas peeing in the cup for him? Like, what's going on in Cleveland? This is fascinating. But I think, and this is going to sound messed up, I think the best thing for Johnny Manziel is to go to jail.
It's the best. Going in a tight end, going out
of
water.
Vincent!
Oh, this is a family show.
This is PG-13. But I think the best thing is for Johnny Manziel to go to prison because that's the one place where that stuff and all of that can be monitored.
I feel
and
like
he can be away from that.
I think he's a risk in prison, though. Like,
you think he is?
I think he's a risk because I would not be shocked because he's a name. He's a big name,
yep.
And you know. I've seen movies. I know how that stuff goes down.
Pretty boy goes in.
I don't know. But on a similar note, did you see the recent picture of Colin Kaepernick?
Which one was that? That was
looking
the one.
Skinny as hell.
Yes.
I know he's coming off.
There was a picture of him and there's a picture of Manziel. Manziel,
yeah, they're both. Well, one's drugs and one's, I guess, just not training. Because, I mean, he did have surgery, a couple surgeries, so sure. I would not be surprised if he just lost some muscle mass because he's been recovering. But, yeah, that's weird. That's a little weird.
This is going to be, like, the era of quarterbacks that just destroy their own value by doing things. Like Johnny Manziel, you got Kaepernick not looking good, and, of course, not playing well, which is one of the reasons why I don't think he's in Denver. And
he's not in Denver because he didn't want to take a pay cut. That's why.
That's the other thing, destroying his value without not taking a pay cut. Now, of course, you have Sam Bradford painting himself into a corner and then asking to get out of it, and that's not how it works. But we've talked enough about the failures of quarterbacks. Let's talk about who might be the next successful quarterback with our mock draft. Now, of course, I've been hyping this up with the last couple of sports podcasts. Me, Sean, and Vinny are going to be doing our first five picks of the NFL draft. And we're going to start with the first round, or the first overall pick, which is the Los Angeles Rams. Now, Sean, who do you think the Rams are going to draft with the first overall pick?
Carson Wentz. I believe it. A lot of people keep saying that Goff is going number one and then Wentz is going to fall to the Eagles. I mean, the guy has been on ESPN, Sports Illustrated covers. He's like the top guy, and I can't see someone like Jeff Fisher, who is, let's be honest, he's past his prime. He's not the greatest coach ever, and he's going to take the name guy, and I guess right now he is the name guy, regardless of, you know, whether or not he can throw a wet football. I do feel like that's what the number one pick is going to be.
I'm inclined to agree with you. My pick doesn't, but I'm inclined to agree with you only because it doesn't make much sense for Los Angeles to have leapfrogged Cleveland to draft Jared Goff, a guy that was more than likely going to be at the eighth pick anyway.
At the time, but you know, rankings change in the draft all the time. Uh-huh. I mean, the reason why the Eagles, my belief is the reason why the Eagles moved up is because I think they found out that Dallas was gonna take a quarterback. That's my belief. I think that they heard that Dallas at number four was going to draft one of whoever was left, whether it be Goff or Wentz. And that's why they moved up, because they wanted to get one of them. They thought that they could get him at eight, which was their original plan. And they were forced to move up because they heard about Dallas.
Okay. So Vinny, who do you see taking or who do you see going with the first overall pick?
Jared Goff.
Okay. So we have a disagreement.
Reason being, L.A. moved up to leapfrog Cleveland because L.A. wouldn't have had a shot to draft him at 15 because he was going 7 to the 49ers. Cleveland then said, no reason for us to stick around, okay, because we don't want Wentz. So Cleveland fell back.
That's it?
That is my reason.
I mean, again, like, Cleveland was high on Wentz, which again is one of the reasons why I originally thought Wentz was going to be the first overall pick, but I think I have different reasons for picking Jared Goff. I have more logical reasons behind it. Now, of course,
he's the better quarterback.
Yeah, I think A, he's the better quarterback between the two. Also B, who currently is the quarterback for the Rams? Casey Keenum.
Case Keenum.
I really don't think the Rams want to go into the season with their starting quarterback being Casey Keenum.
They were ready to do it.
We don't know the answer to that.
Jeff Fisher, the coach of mediocrity.
I think they draft Jared Goff because he's the guy you can start week one and have confidence in because he's played NFL caliber talent.
Jared Goff still has a lot to learn.
He still has a little bit to learn, but he's more NFL ready. Also, if you want to put butts in seats in California, he's the guy to do it. I mean, he played his college football in California.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going by that logic, Houston should have selected Vince Young in the first pick overall. And that didn't happen.
Yeah. Again, there have been situations like this, you know, before where, you know, logic like that doesn't necessarily range.
Just saying.
But again, I think if you're St. Louis and you want to put butts in seats and you want to yield a competitive team this year, which I think Jeff Fisher kind of has to have in the back of his mind, Goff is your guy. But again, I'm interpretation. I could see Wentz going first overall because I think people perceive him to be the better product. But I think logically, if you're Los Angeles, Goff has to be the guy. But all right, let's move to number two. I kind of see where Sean's going to go with this. But Sean, is Goff your number two player off the board?
He sure is. There's no reason to move to number two if you're not drafting a quarterback, right?
Yep.
Right, guys? Right? I mean,
right.
I mean, I know the Eagles have done weirder things, but it makes complete sense why they would move up and get the other quarterback. And if we're going by number one being Wentz, it should be Goff. I know you guys are going to say Wentz, but still.
Yeah, I think before I get to Vinny, because Vinny's going to agree with me, it's Carson Wentz I see going number two to the Eagles. Again, this is such a weird draft, and we won't really know until it happens. But I think in terms of fit, Wentz is a better fit for Philadelphia. I'm not a high on Wentz guy. I'm not. I personally think Wentz is, in terms of what he's going to do in the NFL, he reminds me of a Ryan Leaf, where Ryan Leaf didn't play excellent competition in college. I'm not saying this in terms of attitude. I'm saying this what they did in college. Ryan Leaf did not play great competition in college. Wentz did not play great competition in college.
I have a question. When you finish your point, I have a question.
Okay. Wentz didn't play any competition in college. He also, when he was hurt, North Dakota State played fairly well without him. They've actually won games when he was hurt. So it's not like he was the guy in North Dakota State. The other thing is, what we've seen him do, again, along with not playing good competition, the only times we've seen him were in the NFL Combine and the Pro Days, which are designed to make players look better than what they actually are. Mind you, he looked very good in his Pro Day, but one glaring issue that set in my mind was he does not know how to throw a football when it's wet. And that bothers me, because if you're playing now in Los Angeles, which doesn't have a roof anymore, and now in Philadelphia, Vinny, stop with that. And now in Philadelphia with another team that doesn't have a roof, you're going to be playing in questionable conditions. Now, of course, California weather's beautiful, but you're going to play in questionable conditions. I question Wentz's potential, but I see Philadelphia taking him only because he'll sit there for 2 years, learn behind Chase Daniel. If Bradford's still there, maybe Bradford could lend a hand. I don't think he will. But again, Wentz is my number two quarterback off the board because I pick off. But Vinny, Wentz?
Yeah, Wentz is a very good quarterback, I think. And what better situation? Come to Philadelphia, learn behind Sam Bradford or Chase Daniels. What could possibly go wrong?
Okay, well, you totally skipped over my question that I had. But
okay, what is your question?
Well, you mentioned how you're not sure which guy could fit the system in Philly. My mm-hmm. question is, what is the system in Philly? Because typically the Doug Peterson offense
is the West Coast.
Not only the West Coast, but you also run the ball a lot. So yes. the dependency on a quarterback is not as high as it would be with some other schemes.
Yes. I agree with that.
So how can you determine who is really the best fit if the quarterback is not your number one priority?
Sean, I agree with you. And again, if you go back to the last podcast, we had this conversation. I'm not a big fan of this trade. It's a ballsy move, but it also doesn't make any sense kind of move. If you understand what's going on here, I see this panning out as the move that the Eagles probably should never have made. Because again, as an Eagles fan, we've always been clamoring for them to do something risky. And this is like a point where it's unnecessary to do risky.
We just got Chip Kelly. I was perfectly fine if we just stayed at number 16 or 13, wherever we were at.
Well, we remember we moved up with the Maxwell trade to get named. Right. And originally I thought, okay, we're going to take Ezekiel Elliott. And maybe
which
we'll get a
sense.
Young quarterback. Yeah, which makes sense because we need a running back. If you're going to play in the West Coast, you need as many good running backs as you possibly can. Because what we've seen in San Diego, or not in San Diego, in Kansas City, has been that they need multiple good running backs. Charles, I believe they have Nile Davis out there as well, and they have Charkandrick West. I believe that's what his name is. Charderic West. So you need good running Charkandrick. Who cares? Who cares what his name is? But the point is that he is an NFL quality running back. And right now we only have two: one that's injury prone, and one that's almost 35 years old.
And Ben's size.
And my shut up. So I was originally thinking we were going to take Elliott, and picking a quarterback now here makes me think that they're going to run a slightly different version of the offense, which doesn't make any sense because. I'm as clueless as anyone else here. So, but anyway,
I'm gonna save that forward. Sound clip for later.
Yeah, we'll save that clown.
I'm as clueless as everyone else.
I'm as clueless as anyone else with this. Third pick is San Diego. Sean, who does San Diego take? Because at this point, this is kind of like the moment of the draft where it's like, all right, we have that.
It seems like Ramsey. I mean, San Diego had one of the worst secondaries in football last year. And if you're going to try to improve your defense in some way, you might as well start with what you were the worst at. So it makes sense to go with a corner.
One of the best defensive players in the draft as well, Jalen Ramsey.
Very much makes sense. They lost Eric Weddle. Very much makes sense.
Yeah. They lost Eric Weddle, though, by choice, which is kind of bizarre. But, all right, Vin, who do you see the San Diego Chargers taking?
Because Ramsey makes so much sense, they're going to take Laremy Tunsil.
So you're going to say they're going to take the best offensive tackle in the draft.
I think he's the best player on the board, period, besides for maybe Joey Bosa, the best football player. So I think they can't pass it. They need an offensive lineman. You know, King Dunlap's been holding down their left side, and he's a goof.
You know, they do, but at the same time, you could probably get a decent offensive lineman later on in the draft and not have to spend a third pick.
See, but I just look at the value, and the left and right tackle is valued much more in the NFL than the safety. Unless you move Jalen Ramsey to corner, which is very valuable, but they don't need help at cornerback. They need help at safety.
Yeah, Vinny convinced me on this pick the other day. They've had issues keeping Phillip Rivers upright for these past couple of years, and they've kind of had a rotating.
But it's not because their offensive line's bad. They just keep getting hurt. It's just bad luck.
They just keep getting hurt, which is one of the reasons why I think you draft a Laremy Tunsil here, because even if he does get hurt, you have guys behind him that are starter quality, if you follow what I'm doing, because they've had guys that have gotten NFL experience. Not comfortable starting those guys yet. I think you go with a Laremy Tunsil. You move some of those guys over to the right side, work them in there. But can you imagine DJ Fluker and Laremy Tunsil on one side of the line? That'd be an impressive offensive line grouping. I think Melvin Gordon would enjoy running behind that. And I think that's how you kind of establish your offense getting better. And eventually you build your defense to be a bend but not break. Again, I could see Jalen Ramsey going there, but I have bigger plans for Jalen Ramsey in my mock. We'll move on to the fourth pick, which is the dreaded Dallas Cowboys, which have not really been anything to be frightened about these past couple of years.
Well, get ready, because they're about to.
Sean, who do you see Dallas taking?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, you see Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, so this is the first time you and Vinny are going to agree on something.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Or do we?
Well, we'll see. I'll tell you why, because if Jerry gets his way, he's going to want offense. Jerry has never been the guy to draft a defensive player overall number one, or not overall number one, first round. He's going to want a guy who can help carry the load with Tony Romo. They lost DeMarco Murray, and Romo took way more punishment than he needed to. They were throwing the ball a lot more. And their offensive line got exposed. So if they had a really good, and if they believe that he can be that guy, they're going to take a running back with their first round pick, as opposed to a defensive player who they probably need more. But, I see it now. They're going to take Ezekiel Elliott. And I feel like this is the fallback because, the Eagles decided to move up, so now they're going to take what's left, and that being Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is in his office right now, twiddling his pen, and he is fired up. Right, he wants to shake things up, and he's going to get over there and write down the card, and he wants Elliott, but not the one you're thinking of. He's ready to shake it up, go with former Jets left tackle / tight end, Jumbo Elliott. Give him to us. He wants to shake up the draft. Now he's going to go with Ezekiel Elliott. They need a running back. And he's probably not going to draft anybody on the defensive end, because that would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think
Dallas.
Yeah, they need the defensive guy more. Yeah. But
That would pose a very, very interesting offensive set. I mean, you have guys like Dez Bryant. Who's their other wide receiver? Not important. But then you'd have Ezekiel Elliott back there, Alfred Morris, Tony Romo. Two tight ends in Galvin Escobar and Jason Witten, who are formidable. That would be an interesting offensive group. However, my pick, Jalen Ramsey. Now, there has been one defensive player that has been compared to Deion Sanders in this draft, and it's Jalen Ramsey. If you're Dallas and you hear those comparisons, that would perk your interest a little bit. The guy's had great tape. He's played against very good competition. And Dallas right now, they need a defensive back really, really badly.
I don't think he's going to be there, though. I really don't. And honestly, if you look at Dallas when they were successful 2 years ago, it's not because their defense was playing well. They just weren't on the field because they were running the ball. They were using time of possession. And I feel like if they think that Ezekiel Elliott can be that guy, then they will go with him.
That would be, though, a very, very interesting running back duo of Morris and Elliott. That would be good.
He's done.
He's done, but he's in there just for scraps. But he's still, he's in there just for, he came there for scraps, but it would, again, you have a veteran running back there kind of showing the ways for the rookie guy, and eventually the rookie guy would take off.
Yeah,
and again,
sure.
I so badly wanted Elliott to be there when the Eagles picked at 8, but unfortunately he's not. But yeah, I see Ramsey, because again, right now, Dallas is dealing with, or I think it's Scandrick is gonna be there, and that's pretty much it. I think they've lost pretty much all of their defensive backs. Morris Claiborne's garbage, so
he's not that bad. I wouldn't
Jerry
call him
Jones
garbage.
And of both the cornerbacks he has, I am not kidding you. Jerry Jones is a big fan of Orlando Scandrick, and he's a big fan of Morris Claiborne. That's why he moved up to get Morris, which was a brilliant move by the chance. I don't know if I said that or not yet. Brilliant move. Move up, get Morris. It'll work out fine.
And Morris Claiborne has not been that great.
Cover my grandmother.
All right, rounding out our mock draft with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sean, who do you see the Jags taking?
If we're talking, here's the thing. I could see either a Tunsil here or even Joey Bosa. I feel they're probably going to go Joey Bosa just because he's the name. Not that they really need more guys on the defense. Honestly, I'm not sure what they need. Because obviously you could use more help protecting Blake Bortles. But you could also desperately use guys rushing after a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're just going to go in with Bosa on name value only. I could see Tunsil falling to like Cleveland at number 8.
You and Vinny must have talked about your last two picks together, because Vinny, who you see going to the Jags?
The Jaguars are going to take Joey Bosa. He's the best football player available, and they don't really. Blake Bortles could use help, okay, but he's got Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson around him. Two good young receivers they can mesh, okay, played well together last year at points. TJ Yeldon have a lot invested in him running the ball. They could use some line help, but we already have Tunsil going, so they get somebody further down. So if they don't trade back, which would surprise me too, Joey Bosa makes sense. They already invested on the defensive line in Arthur Jones. Somebody else, you know, trying to get a dynamic pass rush duo going, you know, since Jason Babbitt really didn't cut it for him.
I can't see why not.
I see where you two guys are going, but my biggest question with Joey Bosa has been his work ethic. There's a reason that he dropped down the draft board, and it's kind of glaring when you hear him in interviews. People always draw a comparison that he looks a lot like J.J. Watt. He measurables look like that. But J.J. Watt also, Vinny, as you pointed out before, is about 30 pounds heavier than Joey Bosa. So I see Joey Bosa falling. I see Joey Bosa falling pretty far. I see him falling out of my top 5. And this is where I see a guy like DeForest Buckner stepping up. DeForest Buckner, again, kind of flown under the radar, but I guess that's a good thing at this point if you're a top 10 pick and you haven't really, you know, there's nothing bad happening. Again, you pick up Malik Jackson. They've kind of done some things defensively. They have Dante Fowler there as well, coming back from a knee injury. Getting another defensive end would be a good long way to go in to establish that front. And I think a guy like DeForest Buckner, he's a good – he may not ever be the potential that Joey Bosa has. I don't think he'll ever tap into that. But I think DeForest Buckner will be a starting quality defensive end and someone that will really go towards establishing Jacksonville's defense as one of the more effective units in football.
Yeah, like I said, I feel like it's based off of name value.
Yeah. And again, you kind of need that in Jacksonville, because who's going to sell tickets? No one's going. There's no point in, like, their opportunity to do that was when they had an opportunity to get Tim Tebow. Because that would have been, Tim Tebow's playing for him. He would have had full buying Jags tickets. But right now, I mean, you know, Bortles isn't really an NFL elite quarterback yet.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Bortles. I'm that guy. I'm not a fan of him. He turns it over way too many times.
He does. Like, he'll have for every three touchdown game he has, he'll have like a three or four interception game, and it'll just make you scratch your head. And some of the throws he makes, I mean, Vinny, you talked about his receiving core being good, but he turns the ball just over way too much.
Hey, sometimes you just got to step up there and let it fly, okay?
He reminds me a little bit of like
Matt Schaub.
Yeah, a little bit like Matt Schaub.
Well, you know why? Because he leads the league in the most pick sixes since he was drafted. That's why.
It just like he has talent. I'm not fronting him on talent. I think he probably was the better quarterback from that draft.
To me, he's Big Ben without the talent. That's what he is.
Yeah, I see that. I see that too. I see that too. I think, you know, size, he's there. I just sometimes I don't know where his head's at, and that bothers me. Like
it's in Jacksonville.
It is in Jacksonville. But all right, so let's transition from draft talk to something a little bit more serious. And we're going to get into some hardcore arguments here because while me and Sean are on one side here, Vincent, you're on another with the Tom Brady suspension.
Darn it, I am tired of this thing. He should be suspended like it was, and Roger Goodell should have stuck up for himself because now he looks like a pushover.
We're not going to get that hard on Goodell. Of course, I may not be the biggest Goodell supporter, but I do think at times he needs to step up for himself. I just think at this point it's kind of like if we're out there, Tom Brady suspended four games for something that happened a year ago. This bothers me only because it kind of was over with. Like it's been, you know, a year plus. It's kind of, you know, time to move on. I understand why you're doing it. You believe that he did something wrong, but let's face the facts. He didn't. Like so many quarterbacks have came out since then that have said that they do the same thing. Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, I believe, said some things. Peyton Manning even alluded to the fact that he enjoys his footballs at a certain PSI. It's a known thing. Kurt Warner has said that he would doctor up his footballs before games. It's a known thing that these quarterbacks do it. Not condoning it, but I'm saying if you're going to punish Tom Brady, you have to do the same thing for all these other stars. Now, Goodell doesn't want that because having Rodgers on the field is a good thing for the NFL. Having Manning on the field is a good thing for the NFL. Having Brady on the field is a good thing for the NFL. But why is all this anger concentrated on Brady? That's what always bothered me about the Tom Brady thing is that...
Because they got away with it before.
With the Spygate. But the other thing that bothers me with Brady is this sounds a lot like the hate that a lot of fans have against the New York Yankees, where they don't respect the fact that this franchise has built itself up. They just want to see someone different. Now, of course, I do as well. Sometimes it gets boring to see the Patriots win, but the way they do it is entertaining. They don't buy the best players. Sometimes they don't even have the best roster in the NFL, but they find ways to win. Name a receiver from their 2000 or 2001 championship team. You can, because none of them are Hall of Fame caliber.
Was Deion Branch there at the time?
Deion Branch was not there at the time. He was 2003 and 2004. The time their receivers were David Givens, David Patton, and Troy Brown. That's what they rolled with. None of those guys, by the way, that were in the NFL for the 2000, well, Troy Brown was, but past the 2004 season, David Givens was out of the NFL, and David Patton was a practice squatter for the Redskins. So my point I'm making here is we need to stop with the Brady hate, because it's not warranted. It's not warranted anymore. He has established himself as the best quarterback in NFL history. While you can debate that, he plays in a time where the quarterback position has become the focal point of the NFL. And NFL teams. If you don't have a good quarterback, you are not going to succeed in the NFL. That's the way the NFL is nowadays. And Tom Brady has sustained that for decades. Hating Tom Brady now, it's unwarranted, and it doesn't make it. You're hating something that is going to end up in Canton. Let it go. And the NFL, let go of Deflategate. I understand why the NFL did this. It's because they wanted to pander to the fans because the fans wanted to see something different. They wanted to see a different winner. But regardless, the Patriots still won the Super Bowl. And regardless, they're going to win it again in a couple of years because that's what the Patriots do. Now, Sean, if you want to take this over and continue the argument.
Honestly, I don't think I can. I don't want to incriminate myself. I currently work for the NFL. I don't want to talk about it.
And I understand that. But do you disagree, Vin?
I think that Brady got a punishment. And just because he's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's Bill Belichick doesn't mean he should be able to get out of it like he did. And I'm glad he got suspended again. And Roger Goodell still looks like a pushover.
He keeps it brief. He keeps it brief. I do want to say, like, you don't have an issue with Aaron Rodgers having come out and said the things he said.
I don't know of an Aaron Rodgers. There's an Aaron Rodgers
in Green Bay, and I mean,
if he's truly got his balls underinflated too, I mean, he'll get caught eventually, 8-10 years down the line.
He's certainly interesting, and that's why he is our fellow NFL, I guess you could say, NFL expert here. But again, from what I see is that I just want the heat on Tom Brady to stop. It's kind of unwarranted, but the heat on Sam Bradford can go for as long as I care as I want, because that man is an absolute bona fide idiot. But we will see. Sean, you seem to think that the best move would be to trade him during the draft. And we will see, because the draft, once again,
they got to get those picks back somehow.
Thursday. Yes, they got to get those picks back. Again, this has been the ultimate stench of or scene of irony with the way that this whole thing has gone about with Bradford. And now he coming to Philadelphia, he was happy to be here. And now he's angry. He doesn't want to be here anymore because he's not getting his way. That man's found one way to paint himself into a corner. But that does it for us here at Blah Blah Sports. For myself, Benny, you can follow me at the BNP Express. Vinny, where can they follow you on Twitter?
At Shoot That, but you don't want to follow me.
Wait, what was that?
It's at Shoot That.
Shoot That?
Yes.
Yeah, S-H-O-O-T-D-A-T.
And you came up with this yourself?
Wait, no, it's not. No, not anymore. It's pan_Dora_radio.
Can you tell us the origins really quick of Shoot That?
My friend, he used to play football, and we used to play football together. And when he used to play basketball, there's this kid on his team, and he basically came over the bench one time and was like, "Man, all y'all suck. Y'all got to shoot that," meaning the ball into the hoop. Like, and from then on, they kind of just called me that.
Now Vinny goes off of Pandora Radio, and he gets a bunch of extra followers because of that. But
no joke. Like, it's what this is my life, and if I could change it, I would.
Sean, where can the people follow you at?
You can follow me at the_Brack Show on Twitter.
And what's the meaning of that? I mean, if we're gonna come after my Twitter.
Honestly, name, do you wanna know what it is? It's a reference to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Remember that show?
Yeah.
Breaking my heart.
Well, he's 21. Give him a break.
Oh, he's about to be 21. Oh, the birthday boy here. We would give you a Blah Blah Sports birthday, but it's not officially your birthday yet. So
appreciate that, guys.
Wait, what were we gonna do? What?
Happy birth? No. Once again, at the_Brack Show, you can follow Sean at, and we have a WWE podcast coming out later this week. Going off of the UFC podcast, a lot of stuff going down in sports this week. But yeah, you will be hearing my voice and Sean's next time we talk about the upcoming pay-per-view Payback, which is this Sunday. But for everyone here at Blah Blah Sports,
we're out, and I'm going to try and drop this mic.
Well, that was successful.
Have a great night, everyone.